today on the Rising Coaches Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Rising Coaches Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Bender, and today's episode is brought to you in part by Dr. Dish. Dr. Dish, by far the best shooting machine on the market, and if you want a discount off a new machine, be sure to mention Rising Coaches to save $300. For more information, visit drdishbasketball.com or visit one of their social media platforms at drdishbball. Also, if you're not already a member and interested in joining the largest coaching tree in basketball, visit risingcoaching.com to sign up today. You'll build genuine relationships with other coaches, have access to amazing content that allow you to develop your craft, expand your network, and see job opportunities on our member site that don't get posted anywhere else. For more information, visit risingcoaching.com. All right, today's special guest, we have assistant coach John Kremens from James Madison University. Coach, how are you doing today?
Good, Coach Bender. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Short notice and getting on today. Looks like you got quite the facility behind you back there.
We do. We have a beautiful facility. This is the practice gym behind me. This is second year it's been open, so it's a $160 million facility, brand new, beautiful, state-of-the-art facility. So we're lucky to be here.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Did you donate any of that $160 million?
No, expect Rising Coaches to.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe someday Rising Coaches will be that big. With listeners like yourselves listening today, hopefully you guys can continue to grow our brand and make sure you share and retweet any videos that we post today. All right, so give us a little rundown, your coaching journey, maybe starting from when you were a little kid. I know you got some family ties in the business, but go through kind of your journey, how you got to where you are now, and some of your pit stops along the way.
Yeah, so I kind of had a unique experience because as a kid, my uncle was a college coach at Georgia Tech. And so growing up, I was always around Georgia Tech. I lived in New York, but he always came up and played games in New York for, the holidays. And then we go down there some and visit. So I always, had an inside look of how to run a program, what a coach's life is like. And I just loved his relationships with his guys. One thing that hit me as well is like when I would go to the games, all the former players would come back and they all said the same thing, man. Your uncle, Coach Kremens, like he's done so much for me. I love, I was a young man when I got to him, and he turned, helped me grow into the man I am today. And so I saw like all these people's lives just changing for the good, whether they played professionally or whether they just went straight to the business world, whether they were coaching. So that always was something that just resonated with me, which I loved. And so I was fortunate. I went to Valdosta State. I was able to become a graduate assistant there. I got my undergrad and master's there. So I started my coaching career as a graduate assistant. I was able to go on from there. And I knew from right away I wanted to coach. So I was a GA at Valdosta, got my coaching career. I was a high school coach for 1 year in Atlanta. And then I went to college at Charleston. I was able to work for my uncle. He retired for like 5 years when he was at Georgia Tech. He retired and then he came back after 5 years and coached at College of Charleston. So I was fortunate to get my start as a director of basketball operations, and kind of my career took off from there. But, it's unique. People always say they're kind of jealous, and it's cool that like I've always known what I wanted to do. And so it's pretty cool that I'm able to do what I want to do. I love it. There's not a day where I feel like I'm working. I absolutely just, love coaching. So it's a special job, special opportunity we have to be able to coach these young guys.
For sure. I'm kind of in the same boat. I obviously didn't have a famous uncle, but we joke at the guy at Clemson, Bob Bender, Dick Bender. I joke that he's my uncle, but he's really not. But we got to keep the family name in there. But yeah, your journey. Obviously, when you're a little kid, you kind of dream of usually playing because you're in a gym. But, coaching is also another avenue that, I knew when I was in middle school that that's what I wanted to do. And, getting involved in basketball is always difficult, especially at the college level. But it helps to have an in, or it helps to, work your way up. It's not like you were just handed an assistant job from the beginning and you paid your dues. You went to Valdosta. You've had some nice gyms in some of the places that you've been in, nice towns. You've been very, very, very lucky, I think.
I have been lucky. Yeah. No, I definitely everyone wants to play, but you realize quick that the NBA and playing professionally is not for everyone. So the next best thing is coaching. But yeah, I've been fortunate. I was at Valdosta, worked for a great coach, and Coach Mike Helfer. He's still down there. He's an outstanding coach, does an amazing job. I learned a ton from him. And then, I was at College of Charleston. And then from there, I went to be an assistant in Southeast Missouri State in He's in Cape Girardeau for Coach Dickie Nutt. He's an assistant coach at Missouri right now. Another outstanding coach. And then I went back home to Atlanta. I went to Kennesaw State for a year. And then kind of unique with me is, you know, I wanted to become a head coach. I wasn't sure. I wanted to see if I was good at being a head coach. You know, everyone's an assistant and you think you can do it, but I wanted to see if I was able to do it. So I had some opportunities to become a head coach, and I decided to go to junior college. I went to Spartanburg Methodist Junior College in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Loved it. Had an unbelievable experience. I coached some amazing young kids. A lot of them went on to four-year schools. And then from there, you know, I went to USC Upstate. And then I was fortunate to go at Georgia Southern with Coach Byington, who I'm working with right now in James Madison. And, you know, he's an amazing coach. He gives us a lot of – he helps us grow. He's a great leader, great coach. And, you know, the one thing when you're working and looking for jobs is you want guys – you want to work for someone that if you had your own son, you would want them to play for him. And, you know, I'm so fortunate now. I know a lot of guys, you know, whatever, they may not have that. You know, my boss now is an amazing, not only coach, but person. So I'm blessed to be where I'm at.
Yeah, that's a special moment or I guess bond that you would say is rare, because we've all worked for guys that we would say, you know, from a loyalty perspective, had their backs, but at the same time, like, that nothing, no situation is ever perfect. It's like a player. It's never going to be perfect. Not everything is going to align. Stars are going to align. You know, it may look perfect from the outside, but there's always intricacies. But working for good human beings is something that's really impactful and helps us enjoy our profession a lot more. Tell us a little bit about when you guys were at Georgia Southern. I know Coach Byington did a lot of stuff with matchup zone, and I don't know how much you're doing of it now. With all the different people that you've worked for and different stops, you've had a lot of them. Like, what are some things that you've learned along the way from a basketball perspective that are very unique that others may not know?
So, you know, the first thing I know everyone says is kind of cliche is, you know, the relationship with your players, getting them to believe, you know, also when you're teaching, believing what you're teaching, like being able to, you know, have people understand exactly what you're trying to do. Like, there's a reason for why we're doing this. I think there's a lot of different – I worked for a bunch of different coaches, and a lot of them are very good. But the best guys to me are the ones that can clearly communicate what they're trying to do. And so when the players see that, they fully believe in it. And, you know, buy in. And, you know, just that's the biggest thing to me. It's not necessarily whether you're going to down a ball screen or hard hedge a ball screen. I think everyone knows – there's a ton of different styles at work. You know, it's able to communicate clearly how you want to do it, have your guys believe. And then also there is some, you know, personnel to it, you know, how you recruit to your system, or maybe your system doesn't quite fit the person that you have. You need to be able to adjust. And that's one thing Coach Byington is amazing at. He's not married to any type of system. Yeah. We played a unique system at Georgia Southern where we switched a lot of ball. We switched everything. We did like a 1-2-2 three-quarter press. But we came to James Madison and we started downing everything and we weren't switching. So we changed our system because of our personnel. So I think it's important to have, you know, someone that can really study the game, understand their roster, and not just be so set in stone. I think the best coaches and the most successful people are innovative, right? Very innovative. And that's one thing with Coach. He's always – Coach Byington, it's unique when you have such a coach that's so successful. My uncle was the same way. They're still always trying to learn. Like, there's never a day where Coach is like ever like, oh, this is my way or the highway. Like, he's always trying to learn, always trying to get better. And so I'm fortunate to work with someone like that because you know, you learn to do the same thing as well. So, you know, what we do is based on our personnel. We study what we try and do and always trying to be innovative and trying to figure out the best way to be able to help our guys be successful.
The greatest teachers and coaches and leaders are, like you said, innovative learners. They're always learning. They want to be the fastest learner in the room, being that sponge on steroids, keep learning and learning and learning and share that. And, you know, I think that's something that's kind of a shift in college basketball is you still have that in-between age or younger generation where we're not set in our ways. We may have our systems and things that we believe in wholeheartedly, but if you're willing to adapt with the changes in basketball, I think that's extremely relatable, like you said. And you're very fortunate that you get to learn probably new things under your own head coach, even from a basketball perspective as well.
Oh, yeah.
The term mid-major is like a – every school just claims to be a mid-major. If you're not a Power Five, you say mid-major. You've, like, legit been at, like, a lot of places you probably call the mid-major, but you know they're different. You know, College of Charleston, SEMO, Kennesaw, Georgia Southern, JMU, and even with, like, conference realignments and all these different things, like, now you're at a place that would be considered legit mid-major, but could be even higher, but you have facilities that are, like, big time. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, how you've been able to, when you've been not as nice of a place where you've been able to recruit and found your ways and niches when you didn't have necessarily the best things, and how now that you do, you know, how you utilize that in your recruiting.
Yeah, so that's a great question. You know, I've been at some schools where it's been tough. It's been difficult, you know, trying to get guys to campus. Location has been an issue at times, and some of the universities I've been at, facilities has been an issue. Sometimes some of the previous schools I've been at, the meal plan wasn't nearly as good. And now with today's day and age, you know, you have cost of attendance. So there have been some situations where schools were, the cost of attendance was either nothing or very little. And so with that, you know, there's always going to be roadblocks and stuff that you have to overcome no matter what school you're at. You know, we all of us were thinking about, like, you're at Kentucky or Florida. You're like, oh, those guys don't have to worry about anything. Well, that's completely false. You know that. Those guys all have stuff to worry about and stuff to overcome. Everyone does. Maybe not, may not be as much as we do, but they definitely do. So with me, it's just figuring out the problems, what you have that can hinder your recruiting, try and overcome them if you can't. You know, figure out guys that, you know, be truthful in the recruiting process. Guys are going to have to, they're going to see it eventually. So the with me is figuring out guys that want to be a part of your program, and you're going to miss out on guys. It happens. You know, just keep on working. Don't get discouraged. You know, no matter where you're at, it's going to be a good opportunity for someone. I always believe that. It might not be player A that you want. It could be player D or it could be player C. It doesn't matter. But it's going to be a good opportunity for someone. And if you work hard, do the right thing, you know, eventually you'll find the right guys. So now fast forward to James Madison. Yeah, we are blessed here. We have an unbelievable facility. We have a great administration, you know, from our athletic director down, our senior administrative staff. I mean, it really is a special place. You know, our cost of attendance, some of the NLI stuff, like all the stuff that we have in this program is special. So yeah, we can recruit at a higher level, and we have some great players on our program. We've had some great recruiting battles with some other schools and able to win at probably some of the other spots I've been at, we wouldn't have been able to. And so, you know, now with, when you're at a spot like we're at now, you know, a lot of text outs, able to show graphics, everything, what we have. So we're big on the social media, being able to put that out there, making sure everyone sees what we have, because it really is a special place.
So now that you have the quote unquote things, you've evolved as a recruiter through finding unique ways to sell not only your program, but you mentioned stuff, and it wasn't exactly the word culture, but you talked about fit and like how you can be truthful. And so it's someplace, there's a place for every person to flourish, and you got to find the right people that fit what you're trying to do. Talk to us a little about some of the questions that you asked to kind of see if they do fit. Outside just normal conversations that you would have. And you've done a pretty good job recruiting over the years, especially, you know, when I first met you, when you were at SEMO and through all those years and even in the JUCO realm. Yeah. You know, talk a little bit about some of the things that you ask or utilize in recruiting to filter through not just things or the nicest place and get the right people.
So the first thing I always try to do is I try and find an area where I really recruit, like a good area. So obviously there's like to me personally, the Southeast, really, you know, the South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, I try and really find an area. And there's areas all over the world. But you want to find an area where you can build a network and you can grow. I feel like a lot of coaches try and recruit everywhere all over the country and it becomes too much. And I think early on, you know, you try and find your niche and you find your area where you can have a select area where you can grow and get to know all these high school coaches, AAU coaches, all, you know, all these coaches are trying to help their guys and trying to help you. It's amazing. You know, I've never called a high school coach and like, no, man, I don't want to help you out. Every single coach tries to help you out and try and push their guys. So what I try and do is first is try and build a network of coaches, AU coaches, and then they'll give you some guys. And once you get your players talking, prospects, you know, the first couple conversations, I just like to get a feel for them, talked with them, make sure we get along. You know, with us at James Madison, I know you at your spot, Brian, you're going to be around your student athletes more than almost your family. So to me, the most important thing is making sure that, you know, I'd want you to become part of my family. Do I like talking with you? Do I feel like I want to spend almost every day with you? Do I want to coach you? Do you want to get better? Like all those things that I first initially try and figure out. And obviously there's the basketball piece, like how good they are and all that stuff. But that's the first piece is like talking to them, communicating with them, getting a feel. Is this someone that I can coach every day? Is this someone I can be around every day? And so that's the most important thing to me. And then also, you know, the their character piece is the most important thing too. Like, do they buy in? What are their goals? Where do they want to be at? You know, how do they fit in with their teammates, with their coaching staff? I love doing this. I love calling like a guidance counselor or an academic advisor. Now with the transfers market, I love calling our academic advisor, strength coach, someone outside the basketball realm to see just how these guys are interacting on campus. I think that's a great way to figure out, like, you know, what kind of guy you have, what kind of culture he's going to bring to your program, because that's big.
Someone without a hidden agenda, in essence, like someone that may not protect the kid or has no reason to help or hurt them. And if you ask the right questions to the right people, you can find out maybe a little bit more truthful about how they really are. Cause you know, the old saying, how you do anything is how you do everything. And if you're acting the right way around your athletic trainer or strength coach or someone in the cafeteria or guidance counselor, like you said, it's a unique perspective, to try and get a hold of people like that. That's kind of a cool, unique way of doing it.
Yeah, I've worked for some great head coaches, but I also worked along with some great assistant coaches. And I learned a lot of things, like Andrew Wilson, who was on our staff at Georgia Southern here. Now he's at VMI. You know, he's an outstanding coach, person, leader. Like, he's going to be a great head coach at VMI. I just got that job recently. But, you know, I learned a lot. Like, someone that he taught me is, like, when I first started coaching, always look at their attendance record on their high school transcript. You can tell a lot right away. Like, just little tricks like that you can learn a lot of different things. So, you know, I always recommend just be a sponge, man, when you get into coaching. Like, early on, just be a sponge. Try and soak everything up. And because everyone, at the end of the day, the vast majority of people always want to help you.
Yeah.
All right? So.
The kind of the word that goes along with it and what I sense is the word care. Like, if you care somewhere else, you're going to care here. Especially because we're what you would call better. You know, all of those things are important. But yeah, if you care at the little place, you're going to care at the big place. If you care at your local community, that level of care kind of goes a long way.
Oh, yeah.
What advice would you give to, you know, our demographic of rising coaches varies, you know, from listener to listener, high school, MBA, you know, young up and coming guys. What would you say to someone that wants to get into college coaching? And how they would go about doing it and breaking in, you know, just breaking into this profession or getting that first job. What would you kind of advise?
So the biggest thing to me is trying to figure out, you know, one, how to build connections, right? Everyone says, hey, you know, you got to build connections. You know, I still think I'm a little old school in this. I still do think you can do it by working camp. You know, individual camps can be tough sometimes for programs. Because, you know, you have all your, you know, student athletes, but team camp, you can be around, you know, whatever it is, like teams are always hiring guys for that. So building relationships by camp. The other thing to me is trying to figure out how you can add value. So a lot of times people struggle with this, and young guys, is they think adding value is by bringing X and O expertise right away. And I'm not saying that doesn't add value, but, you know, in today's day and age, if you're a young coach trying to get in, you know, help you get in the door, video. You know, we had multiple GAs that worked for us. One is at Illinois now, video coordinator. One's at Florida, video coordinator. You know, video is very important. Sports code, synergy, knowing able to how to do that stuff. Photoshop, another huge thing. You know, text and graphics. You know, these are things that are really, really big now that can help you get in the door and add value to a program. That's really important. And there's different avenues to get it. Sports code can be really expensive and synergy, but you can learn the Photoshop part and be really good at that. I tell all these young guys, there's really no excuse now as a young coach. I would have been in trouble back in the day because I can't do it now. But you have to learn. You have to learn. Like now, that, you know, times have changed. So Photoshop to me, if that's like one thing I recommend every single young guy to know, is you have to be able to do that right now.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, one of the guys that I just hired in my full-time spot was the, you know, the recruiting coordinator, did a lot of social media for Georgia Tech. And, you know, it's one thing that at my level is kind of rare. And, you know, I've always had someone on my staff that had that expertise and helped. And like you said, like, I got a lot of stuff going on. I'm only 35, but I don't have time to learn Photoshop right now, or that's an excuse not to learn Photoshop. I'll just hire someone that does. It makes my life a little bit easier. But to your credit, you talked about video. That's kind of how I got started in the profession. I knew how to use a computer when I was 18, and we had a staff that really didn't know much about computers or how it worked. And, you know, times have changed because it was VHS, then DVD, then Synergy. Now it's, you know, hard drives and literally everything on a computer and a cloud. And then from the camp perspective too, one thing I'll add to that is maybe you're at an institution now. The people that come and work your camps are just as valuable. So my first full-time assistant job, I was hired by someone that worked our camps like a decade prior. And they ended up getting the head coach. Thomas Gray ended up getting the head coaching job at Southwest Mississippi. And he was the one that hired me because of our relationship at camp. And it was solid. The reason was he lost his camp check at the Mall of America. And so I was the one that is helping, you know, get the checks cut. Our secretary and, you know, our operations guy, but like, hey, run this guy down. We got to get his new information. We got to get him a new check. We got to void the other one. It was like, we had like 3 or 4 conversations and it started our relationship. So it's kind of funny how it kind of came full circle and ended up working in my favor long-term. And
I would even recommend, not everyone can do this, but whatever you can to work camp, I would do it. Even if it's working for free, because yep. There's something about when you're around a staff and you're around coaching staff, all this, like if you work hard and do things, there's just always, you know how it is. You're a head coach, you run your own program. There's always something to do. So you're going to see a guy like, hey man, can you do this for me? And all of a sudden, as soon as you get your in, a coach asks you to do something and you do it and you do it good, the right way and a good job. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh man, I can, you know, this guy's pretty good. Maybe I'll have him do this. And then you're just around and good is going to come from that. You know, if you're around and you're meeting these guys and helping these guys out, some good is going to come from that.
Definitely. There's a manager that worked for me last year. He's trying to get on at Ole Miss as a manager. And he's like, he called me. He's like, coach, I'm going to work this team camp. What do I do? And I like just sent him an audio message. And I told him like, hey, just be that runner. Just be that guy that, hey, they need water in the concession stand. Run and go get it. Do it as fast as you can. Like do everything as fast as you can. And I'll never forget my first year when Tubby came into our program. It was my junior year. I knew where all the bodies were buried. I knew where all the stuff was. I knew I was just the runner for his first camp. And I'll never forget, there was a kid, he like broke his shoe. And I went downstairs and I found a shoe that fit him. And I came up and Tubby was like, where'd you get those shoes? Like, he like noticed something that was just complete. Like, you just went and got a kid a pair of socks or a pair of shoes to help them, you know, get continue on and have a good experience at camp. And that stuff goes a long way when you just get stuff done without anybody noticing and paying your dues. And here we are now. So here we are now talking on a podcast, full circle, right?
Well, I worked Florida State's camp when I was a GA.
Yep.
I tell everyone the story. This is pretty cool. So, you know, Leonard Hamilton, one of the best coaches in college basketball, Hall of Fame coach, you know, has a tremendous work ethic. But I was, when I worked their camp, they put me in the dorm and their players were in the dorm as well. So two of their guys were at the dorm after camp. It's like 12:30 or 1, and they're like, hey, you want to work us out right now in the practice gym? It's 24/7. I was like, of course. So I think we got something to eat, got there about like 1:30. We're working out, half an hour in, and all of a sudden, I just look up and there's Coach Ham on the phone working still. It's in June working. But he just walks out real quick on the balcony, is on his phone, nods his head, and then just walks right back out. So just then, you know, we've talked about that multiple times since, you know, I'm coaching. And it's just being around, you know, being there, like you said, do everything you can to be able to, you know, be seen, work hard, and put your head down and work.
And Coach Hamilton, he kind of uses his camps as like a recruiting service for GAs. He'll bring in a bunch of them, and he'll pick the best one based off who gets stuff done in camp. It's kind of a unique way of, hey, free help, and then you pick the best ones, like your tryout to be a GA.
We hired a guy that we hired as our ops guy at Georgia Southern, came here with us, and then he was at Army as an assistant now at VMI, but he went that path. He was at Florida State, worked their camp. They hired him as a GA, did a great job for 2 years, went to Stetson as an ops guy, and then we hired him at Georgia Southern. And now he's an assistant Division I coach, yeah.
There you go. Stories. You got to use them.
Yeah.
See what you can. Create your own. You've been around it your whole life. You've learned a lot of lessons. What lesson has taken you the longest to learn in our profession, or maybe in your life?
That's a great question. The hardest lesson we learned, you know, one thing you learn, especially more even being a head coach, I've learned this lesson is how to handle a loss. You know, when you're playing, when you're coaching, you know, you got to be, you know, one thing I learned from working with my uncle and Coach Byington is, you know, how to handle a loss, how to handle adversity. You know, don't be in panic mode. Don't blame others. You know, figure out the solution of how to handle it. And I feel like a lot of really, really great coaches that have been around have that in common. They can handle that loss, handle that adversity. They're not in panic mode. And it's hard. I remember when I was a head coach, man, I lost a couple of games. I lost two or three in a row. I'm like, man, my head was spinning. And, you know, Coach Ben, you've been a head coach for forever. You know, you're the leader of your program. You got to be able to handle a loss. And you handle it the mature way. I learned a valuable lesson. When I was a head coach, we played at junior college. We played our biggest rivals, and we lost by 1 point at the buzzer. It was brutal. And I agreed to have a camp of young kids come, and I had to speak to them after the camp. There was about 75 of them. And so it was a brutal loss. A guy stole the ball. I drew up a play. Guy stole the ball, went down there and did like a windmill dunk, and the game was over with. It was brutal. It was brutal. And so I was fired up. But you know what? I was like, calm down. I remember the guys I worked with, and you know, you got to be able to handle a loss. I mean, that's what we signed up for. And so I went out there and I spoke with the camp, and, you know, act like nothing happened. And sure enough, it was amazing. We lost one of the biggest games, and I got an email from the president of the school and the vice president saying how much they appreciated of it, that I did that, and how much I, you know, whatever, I took care of the kids and I was hanging out with them. And they act like they were like, we didn't even realize you lost such a big game. And so I tell all the guys that. You see a lot of coaches that get in trouble after losses, right? Whether it's they're fighting with each other, it's social media, yelling at players. That's the biggest thing to me, is being able to handle a loss, you know, handle it in a first-class manner. And just, you know, if the worst thing in your life is losing a game, then you have a great life.
True. We say it all the time that our worst days are still better than a lot of people's best days. You know, with our profession, what we get to do, the impact. And like you said, in being intentional with your actions and understand that no one meant to lose. Yep. Like, it's not like they intentionally sabotaged your game. They may have made mistakes, yep, but you have to be very specific of what words you use, how you use them, when you use them, especially after a loss. And nothing's better than time, space, and opportunity. Like giving yourself time, space, and opportunity to react, take a step back, see what's important. I try and I will even put a timer on myself when I speak after practice or hopefully after games. It's a minute or less. Why? Because they don't hear anything you say anyway. So you're just like doing it for yourself, of just venting, and maybe you vent to your staff or your spouse or yourself, who knows. But, you know, it's very important that you are intentional with your word choices.
Definitely.
You said, you know, this is what you sign up for. And, you know, that may be the best thing or the worst thing in how you feel. But what is the best thing that can happen in your life right now?
As far as coaching?
Life.
You know, the best thing, I mean, I love the thing with me is I love being around our guys, man. Just being around them every day, seeing them grow, seeing them get better, seeing them develop off the court. I love our former players, seeing all the success they have. That's just something that means a lot to me. When guys can reach their goals, I love when guys can reach their, you know, obviously we have our team goals of winning a championship, and that's extremely important. I love, you know, teach them how to reach a goal as far as a team. But then I also love when they reach their individual goals. I just love it. We have a lot of guys that are playing professionally, some in the NBA, some overseas, you know, some are in starting their own businesses. And that to me is like, man, I just love it. I just love it. Seeing them just grow and develop. And you know, it's funny, almost all the guys, they're always like, man, you know, they always call back like, man, I appreciate, you know, we all have great funny memories. You know how it is when you're coaching, there's always funny stuff that happens, but they always are like, man, just appreciative. And a lot of the stuff we taught them, a lot of the guys, they carry on with them moving forward. Whether they coach their own team, playing, they see things now like, man, I know why we're doing this. Like, you know, and the memories you have, it's funny. A lot of guys, they don't realize when you're in college how much they miss not being in college anymore, right? We all miss it. And our guys were, man, we had so much fun. And so those memories, seeing the guys grow, you know, I just love it. It's just so much fun to me.
Now you're keeping the main thing with why you do what you do. And
yeah.
That's pretty special. As we kind of wrap up here, are there any questions that I should have asked that I haven't, or anything that you want to talk about? Or
no, I got to. How's my man Adam Gordon doing?
Adam Gordon, Gordo's the best. He's a really busy guy. He's always got our organization moving forward, and sometimes he goes in a million different directions. But we've really invested a lot of time, probably in the last 6 months, in upgrading our platforms and our content and our library and our app.
Yep.
So we're in the middle of a lot of really cool projects here with Rising Coaches, not only boosting, you know, getting better content and different things, but the app is huge. And he also runs our search firm, which is growing astronomically with, you know, a lot of small college right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if Rising Coaches in the next, you know, 2 to 5 years is another power player in terms of AD searches. And Adam's going to headhunt that. And there's a lot of fun and exciting changes that are moving on with Rising Coaches. But Gordo's doing a great job. I know he misses coaching sometimes, but he also makes fun of me all the time when I complain about anything that's going on. So I know you guys interacted. You know, you got your SEMO days. You guys lived in Cape Girardeau. But
yeah, we're real close. We, you know, almost every job we have open here, I always talk to him about it. He does an outstanding job. I met him when I was a GA at Valdosta.
Okay.
He was at Clemson.
There you go. Yep.
No, actually, he was in Central Florida. Central Florida.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep. It's all the same. I think you run into the same people in some capacity. Like you say all those schools, and I'm like, I know someone at that school. Or I know somebody that went there. Like at some point, the longer you're in it, it's all the same. We're just at different places doing a lot of the same work, but doing it to the best of our abilities. So. Our last question as we wrap up. So give us a 24-hour challenge, something that we can take action doing as coaches or people that you would advise us from a life perspective. Challenge us.
I like that. It's great. You know, the challenge, 24-hour perspective is, you know, honestly, man, just try and help someone in need. You know, find someone that needs something. You know, it doesn't have to be financially. It could be they're going through some mental issues. But there's someone out there that needs some help. And, you know, it's always, you know, there's, you know, you see in this today's day and age, there's always someone that needs help. So figure out that person, whether it's a call to someone you haven't talked to in a while, or, you know, if you have a family member you're having problems with, man, life's too short, man. Figure out a problem, overcome it, help someone out, and just make a quick, even if it's a quick call or a quick text. You have no idea how much that can mean to someone, a former player, you know, whatever, a coworker, just someone out there that, you know, you can reach out to and help them. You never know what, you know, how much impact, positive impact you can have on someone's life by just a simple text message or phone call. I try to make a bunch of calls at night, and you'd be surprised some of the people you call. I called this older coach. He's about in his 80s. I called him one time, just randomly say hello, and he didn't hang up the phone. And I heard him in the background. He's like, honey, you don't even believe you just called me. Coach Kerman just called me. And I didn't do it to make myself. I just called him to check in on him. I haven't talked to him in a while, but it made me realize like how important it is just to make a simple call. We're not that busy. We talked on the phone for 2 minutes and he didn't hang up the phone. I realized how much, so I try and do that now. I try and take time out of my way. And it's important. It's really important.
That's awesome. I would say like out of sight, out of mind. And especially when in our profession, where so much of our jobs are transactional, that you forget that we're supposed to be transformational. And one thing that I try and do, you know, I got a lot of people on my phone and whatnot, but I'll play cell phone roulette, spin it, pick one of those six people that show up in the phone on the phone book and, hey, reach out to one of those people as I'm driving or something along those lines. And like you said, you never know what type of impact you're making. So 24-hour challenge. Go through somebody that's either helped you or that you haven't talked to in a long time. Reach out, take the time, and make their day.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff. Well, I appreciate you being on the podcast today. I know our listeners as well. Where can we find you? How can we follow your journey? Not only JMU basketball, you bragged about how good your social media is. How do we find you and
JMU? My personal social media, our team social media.
Sure.
You feel free to my email, my numbers on our website, on JMU, men's basketball website. So feel free, contact me, email me, call me anytime. I'm always available. I love talking to new people, meeting new people. So, feel free. And then, if you want to follow our basketball account, we put a lot of cool content out there on our social media pages.
For sure. Awesome. Well, thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Coach. Thanks, man.